The founder of Panasonic once said,
"We can lead more meaningful and constructive lives
through the pursuit of activities that will ensure
a better today than yesterday,
a better tomorrow than today."
Panasonic is committed to creating a greener,
more equitable future for everyone.
Explore Panasonic Green Impact
at na.panasonic.com/green impact.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Thank you for listening to the Damage Report podcast, the show covering the true threats facing our country and what you can actually do about them. You can support this free podcast by leaving us a review and giving us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or wherever you happen to be listening to it. Every review helps more people discover the show at no cost to you.
Ooh, buckle up, everybody. This is going to be a big one. I tweeted yesterday, this is going to be some week. You can just sort of feel it. And yeah, it's
a big
one. So I have, I'm going to start off. Brooke is here.
Hi.
Always good to have Brooke here. My first comment is that I just want to provide a little bit of advice for the GOP. If people who produce news shows are having a hard time keeping track of all of the accusers against your nominee, such that they're having trouble producing a show covering it, the nominee has a problem. Maybe don't nominate someone like that. So what I'm alluding to, of course, is that Kavanaugh now has 3 to X number of accusers of sexual assault or sexual misconduct of one kind or another. We're going to be talking about that. And there's a lot to break down there because things continue to develop during the day. Of course, Rod Rosenstein, depending on when you're listening to this, he either, I'll say he has a job or he doesn't have a job, or maybe he has a job. We'll find out at some point during the show, maybe. And much, much more. But so much happening today, and it is just Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty crazy one.
It's just Monday morning, too. Oh, my goodness.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, and of course, we had a, you know, we had a big Friday as well. And we spent the weekend sort of wondering, is Christine Blasey Ford the original accuser against Brett Kavanaugh? Is she going to get her hearing? That developed Friday night, and then Saturday there was an extension, and then we were going to have it, and then of course all of this upset that, and to the point where I'm not actually sure that that hearing is going to happen, or if it does happen, how many new witnesses will end up having to be called for that. But that said, why don't we start off with Rod Rosenstein?
Okay.
So the deputy AG and effectively the acting manager for the continuing Mueller investigation was the subject of a big story last week, saying that he had done two things. He had joked about wearing a wire, or I say joked, or maybe he didn't joke, or maybe he said it, but it was sarcastic. Nobody seemed to agree, although the difference between those things seems pretty significant. But he said that he would be wired while talking to the president. And that he talked about the possibility of instituting the 25th Amendment to remove Donald Trump from office. Although, again, people deferred about whether that had actually happened or whether he was being serious or not. As of this morning, there had been multiple reports starting in Axios that he was already gone, that he had resigned, that he had spoken with the chief of staff and was done. And then that began a ping pong session of rebuttals and updates. He recently had a meeting with the chief of staff. Apparently, as of that, he still has a job.
Right.
So he's not out yet. But people are saying that his thinking was that he is likely to be fired soon. And so let's bring up this graphic that he was verbally resigning. So like maybe not officially because he expected that Trump was going to fire him. The thing is, he might still have the job now and still be right that a firing could be coming. What do you think?
You know, I think what is fascinating, though, is that he's like, not going to step down. I think that that's going to change.
You think he will just resign?
I do. I think that there's going to be some sort of, there is this weird loyalty that happens like from beginning to end within this administration and even when people are let go. So I think they're going to come to some sort of agreement, and I actually think that he will resign, and it'll be a way that the president doesn't look bad.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the question would be, how much does Rod Rosenstein care about the president looking bad or not?
Right.
I mean, he might. He is still technically a Republican, although he seems to be of the sort that doesn't much like Donald Trump.
We put too much into that, too.
You think so?
Yes. Look at Lindsey Graham. It's like been back and forth. Is he A or is he B? Today he's B.
I don't know if it's back and forth. I think it has shifted
Ted
a lot.
Ted Cruz.
Yeah, I think they made a shift. And then they are solid. Like, they moved from, this guy is despicable, he's the scum of the earth, to, I will literally make calls for you, you're the best person, let me write your profile in Time magazine.
Right.
I don't know that they'll, like, a back and forth implies that they will continue to evolve. I'm not sure that that's coming. With Rod Rosenstein, it's always been more muted, both because he's less vocal.
Right.
But in terms of what he said about the president, well, except for the stuff that we're now finding out maybe he said, it's always seemed pretty muted. I think that if he was going to resign, I would have just done it now. I mean, with all the media uproar, so much focus on it, if you were hoping to make a statement with your resignation, and a resignation at this time seems like it would be designed to be a statement, you would just do it now. I feel like this is probably going to lead to Donald Trump either firing him as he had already wanted to, as he's probably been considering for several days, or that now with this new set of wrinkles, it just produces enough chaos that Donald Trump could conceivably fire him and get less pushback than he might have had all of this not happen already today.
I guess, maybe. It's just still so bizarre. The turnover rate is like a store that employs 15-year-olds at the mall.
Do those have really high turnover rates?
Yeah, because you'd be busy. It's your first job. You've got other stuff to do. You know, you've got soccer practice. Mm-hmm. Then summer break is over.
Yeah. So I guess Sarah Huckabee Sanders would be like the new manager last year, and she's stayed on through it all. Like, she's the rock,
right.
I guess.
Uh-huh. After six people left the job, yes.
Yeah, exactly. So I do want to there's so little that we can actually say is 100% confirmed, but I believe this statement from Andrew McCabe, formerly of the FBI. Andrew McCabe had said, there is nothing more important to the integrity of law enforcement and the rule of law than protecting the investigation of Special Counsel Mueller. I sacrificed personally and professionally to help put the investigation on a proper course and subsequently made every effort to protect it. To be clear, I had no role in providing information of any kind to the media stories about events following Director Comey's firing. If the rumors of Deputy AG Rosenstein's departure are true, I am deeply concerned that it puts that investigation at risk. There's that little bit in the middle where it's like, it seems like it's just protecting him in a way that's not directly attached to what's being discussed in the media right now. So I didn't necessarily understand why that needed to be included. And it's possible that he doesn't have any special information about what's going on. He probably has contacts. He doesn't necessarily talk with Rosenstein about this. But we remain, like, while we're going to be filming this, we could come back from any one of these commercial breaks and find out that Rod Rosenstein is gone.
Fired, right. This is just not how you want your president's administration to just be handled. This is bizarre.
So I have a question for you.
Okay.
So you believe that he's going to resign?
I do. I think it's going to be one of those kind, just because I think the reaction, I don't know why, I think that the reaction after the story was leaked, his almost like, how dare you, I would never. This president, this sane, this, you know,
I don't think he should be taken out.
Right, it's going to be one of those resignations that we've seen before. Like, you know, I'm choosing to do this because there's just too much chaos around my name. I'm doing this for, you know, the sanctity of this administration.
Well, then,
we'll see.
I guess the question then becomes, what happens with the Mueller investigation? What do you believe will end up happening?
Do you think it's going anywhere? Do you think there's just really, are you still there that it's going to be just this big bang?
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be. Featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity, the UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it, "You must unlearn what you have learned." And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
You mean in terms of firings, mm-hmm. like a Saturday Night Massacre mm-hmm. sort of thing? Look, it's possible. One of the reactions over the weekend that I thought was most interesting to what was going on with Rosenstein was that Donald Trump, I think he was talking with, I think it might have been Geraldo, I'm not sure, but on his radio show, and he was asked about that New York Times story, and he said that he blames Sessions. Well, first of all, because of course he's going to blame Sessions, but also that replacing Rosenstein, I think, gets him as far as he needs to go in terms of being able to constrain or hamstring or remove the Mueller investigation. But I think that he still thinks that the best route in terms of not just hampering Mueller, but protecting himself from any other investigations is to replace Jeff Sessions. Jeff Sessions isn't involved with the Mueller investigation, but theoretically, there are other avenues that you could attack the president from. I think that he really does think that he needs to clean the leadership out from top to bottom, starting with Sessions. And maybe this chaos, if it continues to develop today, could lead to a widening of the rumors of who might be fired.
I mean, can you really clean out an administration that's not even fully staffed yet?
I mean, you can clean out what's there, I guess.
It's just like,
I don't know. It's like you could only
prioritize,
have, you know, like,
please.
Yeah.
You know?
I guess you could have a refrigerator that only has one, like, expired carton of milk in it.
I guess, and I guess
you still get rid of the milk.
You should get rid of the milk. You're right.
Jeff Sessions is milk, is what I'm saying, basically.
Right.
No, I'm really curious what's going to happen. It is, like, I thought that Rosenstein would be out on Friday, that Donald Trump would seize on
you
the
did.
Opportunity that was presented to him. Yeah, because there hadn't yet been the right wingers who were not defending Rosenstein so much, but even Sean Hannity has come out and said that this feels like a plot, but not the plot that we thought it was. He thinks it's a deep state plot to make Trump look bad, where if Trump reads that story and then fires Rosenstein, that will be used to attack him. Now, it's possible that this is actually a triple plot, that Sean Hannity is just putting that forward to protect the fact that he has known about this, that he was involved in it. I don't know for sure that that's the case. That is what I thought was happening last week. But it is interesting that Sessions keeps coming up in this.
Okay.
Who should be fired? Who shouldn't be fired? Who might resign? I don't think that he will resign, but you know, we might find out by the end of the show that you were right and I'm wrong.
It just still bothers me that this president wants ultimate loyalty and not to him, not to these jobs that these people are put in.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to care much.
And that's where we are in America.
Yeah. Yeah, and where we're at is developing quickly, so we're going to go to a short break. But when we come back, perhaps we will know more about Rosenstein. And one way or another, we're going to move on to Kavanaugh and the growing list of women accusing him of sexual misconduct. Welcome back to the Damage Report, everybody. I am John Iderola. Before we move on to Kavanaugh, we do have one new story and one update. Supposedly, Rosenstein is keeping his position at least until Thursday. He is apparently going to be meeting with Donald Trump at that point to discuss what's going on and, if possible, distract from the Kavanaugh hearings. That's what we hear, at least coming out of the White House. So it could be that is an opportunity, which, as you say, for him to resign. Or maybe they get through it and he's fired.
It's just gonna blow.
Or maybe it's dragged out. Because as we were talking about during the break, that hearing set for Thursday with Kavanaugh, it seems like considering all of the new allegations coming out just in the past 24 hours, it seems difficult to imagine that hearing is just going to proceed as scheduled with no changes on the same schedule. And if so, that might influence when President Trump would like to have a much-watched meeting with Rosenstein going on.
Whatever's going to happen is going to be what makes Trump look better. Mm-hmm. Just like what happened with Comey. He felt like that made him look good and strong and powerful. Like, oh, by the way, you're done. Mm-hmm. You know, you can pack your things up.
Yeah.
In the middle of the day. You're going to find it on the news. Like, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think he liked what that made him look like. And so whatever's going to happen with this is whatever's just going to make him look better. Whether it's a resignation or listen, you got to go. And I'm going to tell everyone publicly.
So, I mean, in that case... Maybe he doesn't even get to Thursday.
Right.
Just tomorrow. I decided no. You're
right.
Fired. Yeah. And by the way, so you're saying better. I assume you mean in
to
his
him,
eyes.
In his mind. Yes.
I mean, he looks mm-hmm. like a psychopath.
Right.
I was going to say something. I won't. Okay. We do have one other. We have one little other update about a story we've been talking about for the past couple of weeks. That is the completely tragic and unnecessary murder of Botham Shamjian. Mm-hmm. Amber Guyer, the police officer who tried to bust into his apartment and shot and killed him, has been let go. And the funny thing is, when I saw this story come up, I thought, why is this story back in the news? Oh, she hadn't actually been fired at all. She's just been fired now. I thought that she had. I am still naive after all this time. But she has at last now been taken out of that position and, of course, is, you know, facing the charges that are continuing.
Which is interesting to me. First of all, that doesn't often happen, that a police officer is fired in this. Usually they are put on administrative paid leave. I also, I thought about this over the weekend and someone brought it to my attention. How did she make bail? Think about that. So we're talking about right, and so she, you would think she'd have to come up with 10 to 15%, so at least $30,000. We know what police officers' salaries are like. Mm-hmm. How did she come up with 30 grand to get out of jail immediately?
Well, the thing that it makes me think of is one of the conspiracy theories going around. I guess not conspiracy theories, but bizarre theories from a lot of right-wingers about Christine Blasey Ford is, how did she pay for her lie detector test? It costs $300.
Right.
She's a professor. Like, she could pay the $300.
She could have come up with the 30 grand.
Yeah, that's a really weird gotcha. She probably could.
Right.
And maybe Amber Geiger could as well, or maybe she crowdfunded it.
Or maybe the police union paid for it.
It certainly could be.
It's a lot of money.
They probably are kind of used to this at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't know for sure, but you know, that case is continuing. We're going to talk a little bit more about that killing when we talk about Ted Cruz and Beto O'Rourke. Ted Cruz believes that focusing on that killing as an example of the need to protect police, I guess, is a good campaign strategy. That sounds a little weird, but we're going to break it down a little bit later on the show. For now, though, we are going to jump to Kavanaugh. Now, a lot of women are accusing Brett Kavanaugh of various forms of sexual misconduct. What's interesting, of course, is that after Christine Blasey Ford came forward, the belief was, if this is a guy that does something like that in high school, it is not insane to believe that there could be other women. And a little bit of time being made available before the confirmation vote allows those women to come forward. That process has now continued in the way that many suspected that it would. And depending on which media outlet you go to, who you talk to, there are now three or more than three separate accusations of misconduct that we're going to talk through. One that we have perhaps the most details on is a story that came out from Ronan Farrow and Jane Mayer, and they've been doing amazing work in this area. This is Deborah Ramirez, who is now 53, attended Yale with Kavanaugh. So this is not one of the ones that happened in high school, although there are those as well. This is a college one. Apparently, she has been considering over the past week whether to come forward with her story. She wanted to make sure that she had the facts right. But after 6 days of carefully assessing her memories and consulting with her attorney, Ramirez said that she felt confident enough of her recollections to say that she remembers Kavanaugh had exposed himself at a drunken dormitory party, thrust his penis in her face, and caused her to touch it without her consent as she pushed him away. Importantly, she is now calling for the FBI to investigate Kavanaugh's role in the incident. That's something that had been lacking in the talk about Christine Blasey Ford. But I want to give you a little bit more details about what she is alleging happened. A third male student, so there had been two that had been joking around. They pointed a plastic penis at her. And then a third male student exposed herself to him. She said, "I remember a penis being in front of my face. I knew that's not what I wanted, even in that state of mind." They had been drinking very heavily at that point. She recalls remarking, "That's not a real penis," and the other students laughing at her confusion and taunting her, one encouraging her to kiss it. She said that she pushed the person away, touching it in the process. Now, just to, you know, for full disclosure, Brett Kavanaugh says that this didn't happen. He says this alleged event from 35 years ago did not happen. That number keeps getting shorter. "The people who knew me then know that this did not happen and have said so. This is a smear, plain and simple. I look forward to testifying on Thursday about the truth and defending my good name and the reputation for character and integrity I've spent a lifetime building against these last minute allegations." They keep going to that.
Last minute, as if that matters.
Well, the last minute too, but also the, "No, I have a great reputation." Well, it's getting less good with like all these new things that are coming out. It's not seeming as good. That defense is a bit weaker with every passing day. So what do you think about Deborah Ramirez's allegations?
What I do think is that, listen, it appears that possibly Kavanaugh got greedy, because he may end up losing the job he came in with, let alone not getting this new one that he wants. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Knowing if, let's say, if this is true, there are so many allegations at this point. Can he even be a federal judge?
Yeah. I mean, look, if the FBI investigates this.
Yeah. And we also have to look at this fairly. I think a lot of it, people get so frustrated by these accusations, and they're old accusations, and they're this and that. Listen, this is not court. He's not, we're not talking about giving him the death penalty. Mm-hmm. This is a job interview.
Yeah.
It's just a job interview, guys. And any other job, I think people would be like, oh, you know, I don't know about him.
Yeah.
I don't know if he can work for us. I don't know.
Especially on issues having to do with women.
Right.
Yeah, people keep throwing around the innocent until proven guilty
right,
thing.
This is a job interview.
Yeah, they do it in the same way that they do freedom of speech. It's this thing that exists in an actual legal form, and then there's the American mythology around it, where it's used in ways that it doesn't actually apply. He's not innocent until proven guilty in the way that you are in a court, because in a court, there are criminal penalties up to and including being murdered by the government.
Right.
This is not that. There are many areas of life where investigations deal with, is there a preponderance of the evidence? Is the chance that the allegation is true greater than 50%? That is not the same thing as what happens in an actual criminal proceeding, which we don't have. And won't get because Donald Trump won't have the FBI actually investigate it.
Right.
So people throwing that around simply don't understand the terms that they're using. And they're attempting to shut down the debate before we actually find out exactly what's going on. Now, we do have a little bit more. There had been another high school allegation in Montgomery County. Investigators saying that they're looking into allegations against Kavanaugh during his senior year in high school after another witness came forward this weekend. I have since read that now investigators are saying that that one is not happening. So stay tuned. You know, we might find out later today. I don't know for sure about that one anymore. However, oh, do you have something to say?
You know, what's most upsetting, I think, to me, to a lot of people, just in general, about the New Yorker article that came out, is that right at the very beginning, you see, and it's the most alarming aspect, that some Republican senators have known about this for a couple weeks now. And as soon as they found out about this, they got together and decided to try and push this vote quicker,
yes,
which should alarm everyone. Because at that point, it's not about guilt or innocence. What that is about is, if your senators are taking this seriously, if they think this matters, before they even can find out if they care, and it looks, that says no.
Yeah, it definitely looks like no.
Yeah.
Well, and they've been saying that this whole thing is political. Well, if you're trying to push it through when you know these accusations are going to come out, if your strategy is to get him on the Supreme Court as quickly as possible, knowing that he's still going to be accused of rape shortly after entering the court, that is about as nakedly political an act as possible.
It's absolutely ridiculous. And then you have this weekend in the middle of the night, Chuck Grassley tweeting an apology, essentially, to Kavanaugh. Mm-hmm. About this, Lindsey Graham saying essentially he didn't care.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a compilation of a few of those that we're going to get to in this next block. We're going to take a short break. Okay. We're going to come back with perhaps what could become the largest, certainly the most extreme allegations against Kavanaugh so far. And then the defense is coming to Kavanaugh from various senators and President Trump after this. Welcome back to the show, everyone. Woo, lots happening. Sarah Huckabee Sanders put out a statement. Thank you to one of you, to Jess, who tweeted in Sarah Huckabee Sanders' statement. It effectively says what we talked about before, that Rod Rosenstein will be having a meeting with Trump on Thursday. So far, no new developments. But understand that between now and Thursday, whenever they have that meeting, that is a lot of executive time for Trump to tweet about Rod Rosenstein. So we might learn quite a bit about what he thinks about Rod before they actually get to the meeting.
Right. We're going to see which direction this is going in.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk more about Kavanaugh. I want to mention something from TYT Investigates. It was reported last week. So first of all, I want to remind you, and especially once we're getting into this stuff that happened in college, and it'll be interesting to see the people who said, can we really judge him for stuff that happened in high school? Does that also apply for college? What about grad school? What about like your first clerkship?
And also,
anyway,
yes.
Yes, it does. Yes. That's the important point. But we had talked about how he gave that speech in 2015 where he said that what happens at Georgetown Prep stays at Georgetown Prep. That is a quote that happens in the video version of that speech. In the transcript he submitted to the Senate, he left it out. And I think we're all getting an increasingly detailed idea about why he left that out, because the more we find out about his time at Georgetown Prep, the worse it looks. Understand also, He has given a number of character witnesses, and that very much is his defense. My character is great and unassailable, and here are all these people defending it. Three of the people that he lists as those character witnesses are people that are mentioned in that speech about what happening at Georgetown Prep, staying at Georgetown Prep. Part of that same group that has apparently been sworn for decades to protect each other from information getting out about what they got up to at Georgetown Prep. So bear that in mind when you see right-wingers continue to defend him based on his impeccable character and these supposedly honest character witnesses who are, you know, at the tail end of a decades-long pact of lying, basically. But I do want to get to the newest allegation, I think it is. This does not involve one individual that we know of, but Michael Avenatti, an individual that we do know of, is coming forward with this. So buckle up. And he tweeted part of an email that he sent to the Senate Judiciary Committee. And it says this: "We are aware of significant evidence of multiple house parties in the Washington, D.C. area during the early 1980s, during which Brett Kavanaugh, Mark Judge, and others would participate in the targeting of women with alcohol and drugs in order to allow a, quote, train of men to subsequently rape them." That's an email he sent to the chief counsel for nominations, which I believe is the same man who said that they are definitely confirming Kavanaugh no matter what. Don't even think about any other possibility. And so that is the most recent information. Not only do we have Deborah Ramirez, not only do we have another possible Montgomery County high school investigation, but now people are coming forward talking about this potential gang raping that was going on. And understand that while we're doing the majority of the show on this one topic, we've had to gloss over a lot of the details. Mm-hmm. With just to briefly mention, with Ramirez's story, she already has multiple people that she can ID as having been at the situation when it happened. And she has other people who are saying that they heard about that event either that day or the following day. So again, people will claim this is another he said, she said. It is not. There are many people that can provide contemporaneous confirmation of what happened in Deborah Ramirez's account. With Michael Avenatti, we know less, at least at this point. But what did you think about his name entering the ring?
A broken clock is right twice a day. I think I want to talk about Judge because he was in that comment, Michael Avenatti's comment there. And he's a big part of all of this. Initially, you know, he had a like, he didn't remember. That was basically the first statement that we got from him. He didn't remember anything bad like this. And then it was absolutely, this did not happen. And then there's so much information that came out about him. He would not be testifying. He wasn't interested in testifying. Yeah. He wanted no parts in this. He knows that Kavanaugh's a good man, didn't do this. And then we, like, start seeing excerpts from his book. Mm-hmm. And different stories that he's
horrible
told.
Quotes.
Horrible quotes. And then in this New Yorker article, this massive article, an ex-girlfriend of his comes forward and says, hey, I too can't sit back because when we were dating, he told me that he had what he called consensual sex, gang sex with a drunk woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now it's Judge is now having to deny that.
Yeah.
Not only does he have to deny, right, like being in the room when Kavanaugh allegedly held a woman down, covered her mouth and tried to take her clothes off. And turning the music up, but now he has this to deny. All while he, so this, a lot of people are getting it.
Yeah,
from this, and you just, I have to wonder, why is the White House holding on to Kavanaugh? Why?
And also, we know that they've known about a good number of these allegations. We don't know exactly which for at least a little bit, but I mean, how long have they known about this? And they still wanted to push him through. Why would you be so dead set? I mean, they had a short list of like 7 or 8 people. Mm-hmm. One of them was a woman, probably less likely to have sexually assaulted multiple people. But they were dead set on him, even though Mitch McConnell, early on, before Kavanaugh was the nominee, said that he thought he would be hard to get through for paperwork issues. Well, we're getting some of this paperwork.
Right.
It's difficult to imagine why it has to be Brett Kavanaugh.
I mean, I guess at this point, I guess it could possibly just come down to their calendar. It would be 2019, and they're really trying to get something in and get something done before November.
Yeah.
But
it could be, but they could have chosen someone else. By the way, you're speaking of calendars. So one of the big breaking bits of news in this is that Brett Kavanaugh says, and by the way, this was his defense before all the other ones came out. So we'll see if he still wants to give this forward. But he said, I can prove that Christine Blasey Ford incident didn't happen because I have a calendar from summer of 1982. And it shows that I did not take part in any of this. And we were able to exclusively show, we got a bit of that calendar. So if we bring that up. Yeah, it seems pretty clear.
Oh,
I mean,
guys, he's
not there. He wasn't there. And everything just fits the motif. I mean, that's an authentic artifact of the early 80s.
I knew it was going
that's
left. I could tell
Brett.
In your voice. Yeah, I knew it was
yeah,
going
she's
left.
Getting numb.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, but look, obviously, not in a jokey way, that calendar would prove nothing. What are you
it
talking
would prove absolutely
about?
Nothing, yeah.
I don't write down the parties that I go to on calendars, partially because I don't have a calendar and I don't go to parties. But if I had a calendar and I went to parties, I wouldn't write down the parties on the calendars.
Right. It proves nothing.
He was a kid in high school. Why would he be writing down the parties? And we keep calling this a party. It was five people. It's possible. It's just something that developed where they called up a few people. And it wasn't something that they planned for several weeks and put on their social calendar. Also, he's an incredibly heavy drinker. Maybe he forgets to write things down. Anyway, it's one of the weirdest defenses Brett Kavanaugh has tried to put forward for himself. We don't know what the calendar will actually look like. At this point, maybe we won't even find out.
Right.
But I know what all of you at home are thinking. You guys have been, you've updated us on all these accusations, and I consider that to be the main reason for doing the show today. I want you to be armed in terms of information about the state of this investigation as it goes forward. But what does Donald Trump think about this? Will he turn on his nominee now that we know all of this new stuff, including the possibilities of being involved in gang rapes? Well, Donald Trump had said since some of the developments came out. I'm not sure if this is pre-Michael Avenatti, but he said of Brett Kavanaugh, he's a fine man with an unblemished past. And these are highly unsubstantiated claims by people represented by lawyers. You should look into the lawyers doing the representation. Judge Kavanaugh is an outstanding person, and I am with him all the way. We have more to get to, but first of all, it's not an unblemished past. It's got some rapey blemishes on it now, and highly unsubstantiated. No, there's contemporaneous confirmation from other people, and he says that you shouldn't trust these people because they're represented by lawyers. What does that even mean? Trump has tons of lawyers. I mean, they change all the time, but he has some. Yeah. Kavanaugh has lawyers.
But it goes back to the calendar, just stuff that doesn't matter. People who want to support them will just take anything.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't
okay.
matter.
Well, let's see what else he has. I think it could be, there's a chance that this could be one of the single most unjust, unfair things to happen to a candidate for anything. But I'm with Judge Kavanaugh, and I look forward to a vote. And for people to come out of the woodwork 36 years ago, 30 years ago, and never mention it, all of a sudden it happens. In my opinion, it's political. It's totally political. Many of these people did mention it at various points during their life. And so, I mean, this is not surprising that Donald Trump is going to stick with him. But I do mention it because, again, whenever he does this, I really do feel for the people who have been through sexual assault to see the most powerful person in the world spitting in your face over and over and saying that it doesn't matter how bad it gets, we will always side with the aggressor in these situations. That is just disgusting.
Just constantly essentially saying it doesn't matter. What you're saying doesn't matter.
Yeah.
This we should be creating this space where women do come forward with their stories and then also creating the space where men stop doing this.
Yeah.
But it's just continuing the same old, same old. Women are scared and ashamed and men are repeat offenders.
Yeah, and a lot of the words in defense of him make it more likely to happen. Like, it might be that there were some people back in 1982 that thought it was acceptable to do some of this stuff. They were wrong then, but they thought it. We should be moving past that. To continue to say that this shouldn't disqualify you from any position implies that it should continue because it's not that bad.
Right.
It was that bad. It's certainly right to say that it's bad now. This should not be something that the country should be split on.
We're not saying throw this man in prison. That's not what we're talking about. I think the problem is just that when a woman comes out with this story, don't vilify her. You have to listen. And these people in power should want to listen.
Yeah.
And it's upsetting that they don't.
Exactly.
Just hear it out and then decide.
I know. They've decided. Right. They might still hear it out, but they switched the order of those two things.
Right.
Okay, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, I just want to read a few more of the attacks against Christine Blasey Ford and some of the other women. And then we've got two amazing political ads. Very interesting strategies, although moving perhaps in different directions after this. Welcome back, everyone. Okay, so through the course of this show, you've been thinking, when are they going to get to Kavanaugh? Okay, fine, we'll talk about it. So some of the, defenses of Brett Kavanaugh by way of attacking Christine Blasey Ford. Some of these quotes are amazing. I just want to cover a few. Representative Steve King weighed in saying, I'm thinking, is there any man in this room that wouldn't be subjected to such an allegation, a false allegation? How could you disprove something like that? Which means if that's the new standard, no man will ever qualify for the Supreme Court again. That seems to be exaggerated. I think, maybe I'm crazy, maybe I'm naive, or maybe I'm biased because I'm a man. I think there are some men who haven't raped people. I think. Here's the thing. Here's a crazy radical idea. Get pissed off about this, right, wingers? You know what? What if he's right? What if every man would be accused? What if we had a period where we didn't even take any chances? We just nominated women for 3 decades or so. We did it with men for hundreds of years. Maybe we could afford to balance the scales a little bit. Would it really be that bad? The right wingers would say, why can't you just have men? Shouldn't it all be based on their qualifications? Okay, we'll get qualified women. If gender doesn't matter, just have the women. Then don't have to worry about any of this sexual harassment stuff.
It's just the things in this country just have to change. This dumb argument that, oh, now men should be afraid. Mm-hmm. Women have been afraid, first of all. Let's start there.
We should be afraid.
Right, like, why can't it be like, you know what, we've got to find good men. We've got to find men who wouldn't do this because I wouldn't do this. I'm not a man, but I'm saying, like, if I were, like, I wouldn't do this. And so you would think that you would be embarrassed to defend something like this.
Yeah.
But instead, so many people
are not. Here's a great graphic example of how not embarrassed they are. Mm-hmm. And MSNBC had this wonderful screenshot. If we can bring this up, you'll see others saying, Senator Lindsey Graham, I'll listen to the lady, but we're going to bring this to a close. Oh, that's some nice sexual assaulty language for you. Also, she's the lady. Bob Corker, who had previously sounded like he might be questioning Kavanaugh. I mean, I can't imagine the horror of being accused of something like this. Imagine if you were accused of something like that while a guy had his hand over your mouth. That's even worse. Orrin Hatch, I think this woman, whoever she is mixed up. What do you mean, whoever she is?
Right, but what's fascinating about that, Orrin Hatch, I think that could also be an exact quote of what he said about Anita Hill.
We should go back. He might have said the same thing.
That is something that was absolutely said about her. She's mistaken. She's mixed up. She's confused.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. Also, again, they're not using your name, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. Senator Dean Heller, we got a little hiccup here with the Kavanaugh nomination. We'll get through this and we'll get off to the races. Oh, was there a bit of resistance to what you were trying to do and you're just going to push through anyway? Well, you sure seem to be on Team Kavanaugh.
Right.
Anyway, obviously horrible framing thematically in terms of how they're talking about this. They all seem to never want to say her actual name. Well, it just became a little bit more complicated, guys. You're going to have to remember multiple women's names not to say in the near future. Okay. Any more on Kavanaugh?
This is not ruining his life. This is a job interview. This is absolutely not ruining his life. And you can do both. You cannot jump to, but that's the thing. You are jumping to conclusions. If you immediately say, like, what she's saying doesn't matter, can't be true, she's mixed up, that is jumping to conclusions.
Yeah.
And I think it's fascinating that people aren't understanding that. You don't have to, you shouldn't jump to conclusions, but you are jumping to conclusions. That's a conclusion. She's mixed up.
The partisan frame that they're looking at this through, or the lens that they're looking at this through, it's so stable that they don't even, like, there's no second guessing whatsoever.
Right.
Like I was saying, I'm not even going to say the guy's name because I don't care. He's a right winger who's got a online show or a TV show or God only knows what's going on right now, but he's reputable. He gets on Fox News and stuff. He had a segment where he called Christine Blasey Ford a lying whore. This is before all the new stuff came out, but he was so sure that obviously the guy I like did do this, that she is a lying whore. And that guy probably makes $100,000. He'll be back on Fox News, probably got a book deal or something. Anyway, let's turn now to Nike. Just quick update, because Donald Trump had said, what are they thinking, Nike? Doing this deal with Kaepernick, it's going to just destroy you. It's going to light your stock price on fire, just like right-wingers set your shoes on fire. Well, it did, in reverse. Nike added nearly $6 billion to its company's market value since announcing its deal with former NFL player Colin Kaepernick.
Duh.
Its stock rose 36% on
right.
The year.
I mean,
Kaepernick, could you please do a deal with the damage report? I want my stock to be set on fire.
They knew this. Like, they knew this was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
This entire country in general is moving towards at a molasses pace. But it is progressing. Mm-hmm. That is why people are freaking out on the other side.
Yeah, I definitely think that it is on some things. There's so much happening that just fills me with so much dread every day. That's, you know, why we have to have the show and all. But I do like that in the background, there do seem to be some positive moves being made like this, that this could actually happen. I mean, obviously he was blacklisted by the entire industry he was a part of for a long time. That continues. But I wonder, with Nike benefiting so much, there's probably a lot of business owners, including ones who are kind of racist, who look at that and think, man, you know, I don't really like the kneeling, but I want a 36% jump in my stock price. It's possible that maybe this will be a tipping point towards something larger.
Yeah.
Okay. Quick break, a little bit more for you to close out the show on the other side. Welcome back, everyone. So hopefully some of you who might be TYT members were able to watch Brooke and I break down the first Ted Cruz, Beto O'Rourke debate live on Friday, which we did. And the campaigning has continued since then. There are going to be two more debates, by the way. And the plan is that we're going to be doing exclusive coverage for TYT members for those. But in the meantime, they're still, you know, doing their social media strategies. I saw Beto O'Rourke apparently went to like a Whataburger or an In-N-Out after the debate and was like air drumming to some song, and they put up a video of it.
Okay.
And Ted Cruz watched a candle burn down. No. But Ted Cruz did put out a tweet, an attack against Beto O'Rourke. So we're gonna show you the tweet first, if we can bring that up. It says, in Beto O'Rourke's own words, so this is a video of Beto O'Rourke talking about the tragic killing of Botham Shemjan. So we're going to show the video and then decide if this was actually an attack from Ted Cruz against Beto O'Rourke or something else.
How can it be in this day and age, in this very year, in this community, that a young man, African-American, in his own apartment, is shot and killed by a police officer? And when we all want justice and the facts and the information to make an informed decision, what is released to the public? That he had a small amount of marijuana in his kitchen. How can that be just in this country? How can we continue to lose the lives of unarmed black men in the United States of America at the hands of white police officers? That is not justice. That is not us. That can and that must change.
So again, to remind you, that was not tweeted out by Beto O'Rourke's campaign, right, although it might be soon. That was an attack where Ted Cruz is saying his own words, that's all it takes. You will see his words and you will understand why he cannot become a U.S. senator. Okay, how effective of an attack was this?
Now, unfortunately, incredibly effective. One, listen, absolutely, it was an absolute self-own when you're looking at the guidelines of just basic humanity. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about Ted Cruz's base, mm-hmm, and that fires them up, mm-hmm, because he, it's racist.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying, and I'm going to say just that, like, so saying, hey guys, look, you should not vote for this guy who's standing in front of a church saying, you people out there, your lives matter. Mm-hmm. And this is something that has happened far too often, and we should take a stand, and your elected officials should care about you and should start caring about you and creating policies that prove that your lives matter. And Ted Cruz is saying, hey guys, look at this. You would never like a guy like this.
Yeah.
And he's not an idiot.
Ted Cruz?
Yeah, so this is something that he's like, oh yeah, we got him.
So
because the people who like me aren't into that.
They're going to be turned off by that. So which part do you think is more intended to inflame the base? What Beto O'Rourke is saying or the reception it gets from an African-American crowd?
Oh, just what he's saying.
Oh, you don't think that it's the juxtaposition of, look how fired up these African-Americans are?
Yeah, I didn't even think about that, but no.
Okay, interesting. Because what he's saying is so, there should be justice. You should. This is Texas. So I think the message, a cop shouldn't bust into your apartment and gun you down, that should be a message that resonates with all Texans. All these Texans who
Absolutely.
Have their castle doctrine and their, you know, independence, don't tread on me. They tread on Botham Shemjan.
Right.
But for some reason, because of the color of his skin, the treading's okay in this case when it comes to a lot of white Texans. That is really bizarre. I mean, so yes, I agree. From some standpoint, this is a cell phone, but it should be, if the media was doing its job, it would be put in a context where it is nothing but a cell phone, where his acknowledge, like there is no excuse to tweet this except what we understand to be the case. The implicit message that you should not like this because I understand that you are a racist. You will be against him because of what he's saying here. But they're not going to stick that to him. Unfortunately, you know, based on our election or our debate coverage, it seems unlikely that Beto O'Rourke will ever stick it to him on this.
Right.
But just disgusting. This is the worst
it
type of
bad.
Campaigning.
Yeah.
They hate identity politics, right? How is this anything other than playing to white supremacist, white nationalist, white aggrieved identity politics?
That's absolutely what it is.
Just disgusting.
And it's obvious it's not
worse.
An everybody in Texas type of conversation, but Ted Cruz is saying there's enough of you out there that I know this will work.
That I think I can win.
Yeah.
That I can get 50% at least in a midterm election. Mm-hmm. I mean, like the eyes of the country are on Texas. It's still going to be difficult. Like it doesn't matter how many polls come out, whether he's down by two, he's up by two. It is going to come down to it at the end here. And it is, I think, super consequential, not just for Texas, but for the country at large.
Yeah.
Okay, I wish we had more time. Unfortunately, that is all the time we have. Thank you so much, Brooke. Always good to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. I hope you have a good week, by the way.
Yes, thank you.
And to those of you watching, we'll be back with more for you tomorrow morning. Thank you for listening to the Damage Report podcast, the show covering the true threats facing our country and what you can actually do about them. You can support this free podcast by leaving us a review and giving us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or wherever you happen to be listening to it. Every review helps more people discover the show at no cost to you. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.